Hello, my name is Mike Talty. I work for Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of short videos around a new framework that's coming as part of Silverlight 4 and also as part of .NET 4, the full .NET framework, that's called the Managed Extensibility Framework, or MEF for short. So it's coming in both Silverlight and .NET 4. I'm going to look at it here in the realms of Silverlight applications. And in a nutshell, what this framework is about is enabling you to sort of compose a Silverlight application out of a number of very loosely coupled pieces that can use different mechanisms for discovering each other at runtime in order to come together and form an application. If that sounds a little bit abstract, then perhaps to make it more concrete, think of plug-in architectures. Think of something like Visual Studio, which has the capability to plug in lots of different designers and build engines and those kinds of things. Or think of something like Outlook, where you can write add-ins yourself using .NET for Outlook and plug them into the core application. And MEF enables those kinds of scenarios if you want to think of it in a more concrete way. Now, just to provide a few pointers before we get started, if you want to follow along and you want to know how to get started with Silverlight 4 and MEF, then the first thing you need to do is download Visual Studio 2010. The Beta 2 is the build I'm using here. You can get that from msdnmicrosoft.com/vstudio. That's all you need. You don't need the other bits in order to find the download for Beta 2. That will get you Visual Studio 2010. You would then also want the pieces for Silverlight 4 development in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. Best place to go to get those is to pop over to silverlight.net, pop over to Get Started over here, and then down on the right-hand side, you will find a link to go and get everything for the Silverlight 4 Beta. And MEF is part of that Silverlight 4 Beta. So follow the instructions there. You'll get the tools in the SDK in order to install the Silverlight 4 development environment bits into Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. It's worth saying as well that MEF, there's also a version of it on CodePlex for .NET 3.5 and Silverlight 3. So if you pop over to mef.codeplex.com, you can find the previews of MEF on there to play with against .NET 3.5. That's the existing .NET framework, and Silverlight 3. That's the existing released version of Silverlight. Finally, if you're trying to find more of these videos, if you pop over to Channel 9, this is where I'll put the videos. If you go to channel9.msdn.com/niners/mtalty, that's me, and you'll find these videos here as and when they're published. And if you're trying to find me in any way, you can pop over to my website, which is just at mtalty.com, and then you'll find my blog. And finally, if you want to get hold of me via email, you can just mail me at mike.talty@microsoft.com. Okay, so with all that introductory stuff said, let's get started and take a bit of a look at Managed Extensibility Framework. Okay, so here we are in video one, and there's a couple of things I want to do here. One is just to very briefly talk about the general idea of components. And this is very, very simple stuff, and everyone already knows this. The components generally rely on a bunch of functionality that they bring in, so kind of imported functionality, and typically expose a bunch of functionality as exports. We've seen this in component technology all the way through from plain old DLLs, through to COM, through to .NET, and so it's a very general idea about components. Also, components often, around the functionality that they import, want a sort of level of abstraction around that. So they want to protect themselves from changes or replacements for the functionality that they import. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. The other thing I want to do is sort of the magic MEF demo. So the idea of this is that it's very easy to pitch into MEF, pretty quickly have it up and running and working and doing stuff for you and being able to sit back and say, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. Look what it does for me. Without really having to probe too much into its underlying sort of principles or ideas or anything like that. So we'll do some of that here, and then we'll follow up with a subsequent video or videos that drill into that in a little bit more detail. Okay, so let's start off by talking about this idea of componentry. Let's just shut this down. Okay, so let's run up Visual Studio, and let's make a couple of class libraries in here. Let's just full screen that. We'll do File, New, Project. I'm going to use Silverlight class library for Silverlight 4. Let's imagine I'm building a word processor. So I'm going to have a word processor library. Great, it's in Ctemp and it's on Silverlight 4. So we made one of those. And let's just take away some namespaces in here because I don't want them. I'm going to also take away this assembly info, I don't want that. And a bunch of references, which I don't want either. Let's get rid of all those. And let's imagine we've got a class called Word Processor. And that's kind of it. Let's imagine that that word processor has a text processing engine. So let's go and add a new project to this solution, which will be my text engine library project. It's also on Silverlight 4. I don't want all those references in there either. I don't want properties in there either. And I don't want any of these namespaces, which I can no longer resolve. And let's put a class in here called text engine. That's fine. And let's also go and make sure that our word processor has a reference to that other project for the text engine library. And then let's go back to our word processor class and say, let's have a property on here, private text engine. Just resolve that namespace. Let's call that the engine. And at construction time, let's say the engine equals new engine, whatever it might be. Let's build that. Okay, fine. Everyone's kind of familiar with building these kind of libraries and stringing them together in this way. It's worth remembering that what we're doing, if we pop down to a command prompt, we can kind of see this. Let's go into slash temp. Let's go into word processor library. Let's pop into there and bin and debug where I can find my assembly. Let me just clear the prompt on this command box. Okay, so you can see my assembly's there. And if we use a tool like ildasm, so we can say ildasm, let's say out equals metadata.txt, let's say .metadata, and have a look at wordprocessorlibrary.dll. Let's notepad metadata.txt. And if you take a look at this, then it's worth remembering that what we just did was build some kind of component, our assembly here. And in that component, we exported a word processor library dot word processor type. So we actually exported a type for someone to use somewhere, and we don't know who they are or what they might do with this class, but we've exported it anyway. And we've exported a constructor, and we've exported actually no other methods for that thing. We also derived from system.object just by a sort of implicit default. And so we have a reference, an import, to system.object. So we imported some stuff as well. And we also made use of the textEngine library.textEngine class. So we imported that thing too. And we imported some other stuff as well. But fundamentally what we did was built a component that has some imports, like these two things here, SystemObject and TextEngine, and some exports, like the word process that we've got here. Okay, so let's pop back to Visual Studio for a second. Just a quick word around sort of resolution of types. At the point where we construct one of these word processors, it will go and try to construct the text engine. And because the metadata is there to tell the CLR about the assembly that that thing lives in, the CLR can go off and try and find the text engine type and get it instantiated for us. Now in Silverlight, that really means going back either to the ZAP that provided the application to try and find that assembly in there, or there's another thing you can do where you can package up some assemblies into zip files and have them sort of treated as a separate block. Either way, it doesn't really matter. The point is that the CLR gets full control as to how to do that type resolution. And sometimes that isn't really what you want. It might be that you want to do something like grab an assembly over HTTP, or maybe do a web service call and have an assembly streamed back to you. It would be nice to be able to take control of that process and be more flexible about how these types are resolved. Now, the other thing to say about this code is that I have effectively hard-coded the type of text engine that the word processor will use to be text engine. In fact, let me just go refactor that for a minute. Let's say just say default text engine, something like that for a minute. So that conjures up the idea that there might be other kinds of text engines. For instance, for testing purposes, we might not want to bring in this whole text engine here. We might want a mock text engine. But at the moment, my code and the way it's written gives no kind of flexibility around the actual text engine that we use in this word processor. Sometimes that might be important, sometimes it might not. We can't abstract ourselves from everything. You know, we don't abstract ourselves from things like the string class in the .NET framework. That would be far too extreme an example. However, in this case, it probably would make sense that a word processor allowed for the possibility of more than one type of text engine. And so typically what we do there is define an interface or a base class that defines what it is to be a text engine, and then we'd program our word processor in terms of that interface or base class, and we'd provide some mechanism for actually swapping in different implementations of a text engine, either at compile time or runtime. And so that's something else that perhaps we should consider when we're thinking about components, is that they have dependencies on other components, and sometimes it's important to abstract yourself away from the details of those other components, and sometimes it might not be. That's something else to think about here. Okay, let's close all this down. In fact, I'll close down Visual Studio for a second. We'll spring it back up. Okay, so now let's switch, and let's go run up Visual Studio and try and do a very similar thing with MEF. And we'll try and do it from the point of view of keeping things a little bit magic. We're not going to try and delve into everything that we see. We're just going to try and do a very simple thing. And then we'll come back in subsequent videos and maybe try and peel away some of what's going on and some of the flexibility that's there in MEF. So let's run up VS. And let's do File New Project again. And we're going to make a Silverlight application, of course, and we'll call this one MEF Sample or something like that. Let's OK it. I want to use Silverlight 4, and I want to use a website, so let's OK that. And let's go and recreate that little sort of scenario we had. Let's go to our Solution Explorer. Let's create. We'll create a new class. Let's call this one Text Engine. Now you'll notice I'm keeping my types in one assembly for the moment. That's part of the simplification that I'm trying to do here. Let's say a text engine has a public string giving you its name. And we'll just say get, and that can return default, something like that. This is the default text engine. And we'll put a method on here as well. Let's just say process text. Takes a string for some text. This is my idea of a text engine. So let's go and add our word processor class. So we'll go ahead and add another class. We'll call this word processor. And we'll say that a word processor needs a text engine. So let's just put a public property on here saying text engine. And we'll call that text engine. So a word processor has a text engine. And let's go back to the main page for our application, the UI if you like. And let's just go and add a button onto that. So we'll just add a simple button that we can click. So we'll just say content equals click, font size equals big. And let's just say space it out and put a click handler behind it. So we're just literally going to put a handler behind there and jump to the code behind that. Let's just collapse the namespaces and refactor that to give it a nice name. Let's just say on button click. Great. So we've got our button click handler. And let's imagine that our main page needs a word processor in order to do whatever it does. So let's go and add a property on there, which is a word processor. And we'll call it word processor. Okay, great. Now, obviously, you know, it goes without saying that if we were to just put a breakpoint on a piece of code here and press F5, then our main page will not have a word processor, and that's that. You know, that's the nature of .NET. We didn't ask to create one of those things, and so consequently we won't get one. So when we click our breakpoint, we can see that we don't have a word processor. You know, there's not a lot of magic in that part of the demo, really, is there? So, you know, things have not changed. But what we can do is start to bring MEF now into this equation. So let's go and bring in the assemblies for MEF. And let's go and say we'll add references to. And if we go out and browse, then I am in C, Program Files, Microsoft SDK, Silverlight version 4, Libraries Client. And in there are two assemblies for MEF. SystemComponentModel.Composition.dll, SystemComponentModel.CompositionInitialization.dll. We'll look at some other assemblies later on that live in the Silverlight toolkit, but for MEF in the framework, these are the two that you need to bring in here, so let's bring those in. And what we're going to do is start to tell MEF about the componentry that we've got. So we're going to go to our text engine, and we're going to say this is a composable part, this is a component, and we're going to say that it exports some functionality. So we're just going to attribute it, again, in the simplest way possible by saying this is an export. We'll just bring in that namespace. So I am an exported text engine, if you like. Then we'll go to our word processor and we'll say this is also an exported word processor. From MEF's perspective, we want to export this functionality. But it relies on a text engine which it needs to import. Okay? And then we pop back over to our main page. This is the code behind our UI, the class behind our UI. And we'll say that that needs to import a word processor. We'll just fix that namespace again using system model, sorry, system.componentModel.composition. Bring that thing back in there. So what are we saying here? We're saying that our main page needs a word processor, and we're saying that the word processor is something that's exported but needs a text engine, and we're saying that the text engine is something that's exported and, as it happens, stands completely on its own. Now, we're not quite finished. Now, these attributes are enough to inform MEF about the various roles of these components and how they can be composed together with the functionality of the export and the import. But we need to tell MEF to actually do something. And the way that works, or at least the simplest way it can work for us, is that back in our main page here, it's the main page that really needs to get its word processor, because the main page is going to do some actual work, presumably with it. So the main page comes along and makes a call into MEF. And that call looks like this. It's a static method on a class called partInitializer, which has a method called satisfyImports. And we can pass to that an object instance. In that case, it's going to be our this pointer. We're passing the instance of main page and saying we want to get the imports satisfied on this object. So with that in place, you know, that one call and those attributes that we've got in place, let's press F5, get our button back on the screen, click our button, which just lets us run some code. And just in the debugger here, let's take a look at the word processor. We now have a plugged-in word processor. If you take a look at that, it now has a plugged-in text engine, which is the default text engine that we've got. And so MEF has done work for us, and it's gone ahead. We haven't had to say specifically where this word processor comes from, or even what type of word processor it is, because we might be, for instance, deriving from word processor. And MEF has gone ahead and plugged in those dependent composable parts for us, as if by magic, in result to calling partInitializer.satisfyImports. And in some ways, that's kind of it. You've seen that MEF can take components and plug them together based upon what they say they import and they export. But the intention of this video really is not to present you with that and then stop. The idea is to drive out a whole bunch of questions. I would imagine that you might be thinking, well, that's kind of interesting, but, you know, where can I use this attribute? So is it just for properties, or can I import and export other things? What if you had a set of word processors with a set of text engines? You know, what about sort of cardinality? I can't spell it. What about cardinality of these plugins? Can we only plug in one thing, or can we plug in many? You know, that kind of idea. You might be thinking, what if I want to divorce myself from this concrete type here? Can I import derived types or implementations of interfaces? What about that? You know, is that possible? And the answer to the question is yes, but we don't want to show that here, but that's the sort of question that you should probably have and probably do have about what I've just shown you here. You might be thinking, well, what did this do? You know, what the heck did this function call just do? Because, you know, we just made this one magic call and a load of stuff happened, and it just seemed to be kind of magic. It just seemed to happen. And what does this do? And how can you take more control here if you need to? You might be wondering, how does MEF discover the fact that there is a word processor type and the fact that there is a text engine type? How does it discover these types? And how do you influence that? And what do you do in that kind of sense? How does it know about all those kinds of things? Similarly, over on the export side, you might be thinking again, where can you apply this? And you might also be thinking, who created the text engine? You know, who ran the constructor for the text engine? And if you had another import, would it create another text engine, or would it share the same text engine? You know, what's the sort of creation policy around these things? Who's running the constructor, and when are they running it? So no doubt there are lots of questions around what I'm showing you here, and the intention of this video was really to drive out those questions. And then what we'll try and do is come back in subsequent videos and talk about some of these things and peel away some of the layers and show you obviously some more of the flexibility of things that you can do with the framework. But for now, hopefully you've got a start, and follow on in the next video and we'll take a look at some of those things.